Sci-Fi and Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Sense8 and their Christmas / New Year special episode.
Yay!
Which
it's funny how the timing worked out with this, you know, because like we had just finished covering the first season.
Come back so soon, or in this form or anything, so it worked out. So I kind of just want to briefly apologize for like kind of not, kind of being like off the grid for like a couple weeks in December. That was like kind of our bad. There was a lot of like stuff going on with like work and stuff for both of us, I think, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I know I should have just shot out a quick little notice on our social media about that. So next time, if we have a delay or something, I'll put an announcement out on Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr. Because I don't know if it makes sense for me to do the mini announcements anymore. Because I know I was doing that in the past, but I feel like it's a little bit like I don't know.
Yeah, I think we should just kind of plan out everything a little. Make an annual break around the holidays just because, it's kind of a crazy time of year for everyone.
Yeah, we might end up doing, like a December break or January break or something like that in the future. As you can tell, we haven't really had a buffer in quite some time, so, but I don't know, it's fine. So, anyway, so Sense8, holiday episode.
Back.
So, there's going to be spoilers for the holiday episode, so if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's like 2 hours long. It's fun. I mean, for me, I thought the length was a little bit too long. Or at least, like, I don't know, I'm so used to like the 48 to 1 hour lengths that it was just like, kind of like, this is like dragging.
You know? Like,
but
I actually disagree.
You actually like the longer length.
Like, the whole time... before I started watching, I was like, if this is going to be too long, I'm going to have to push myself to get through it. And then as soon as I sat down, I just, all of a sudden, 2 hours was gone. It never dragged for me at all, which is super weird, because sometimes even the 48-minute episodes drag.
I thought the pacing was good. It just might have been my, like, frame of mind slash...
it is, like, I mean, it's like a movie.
Great. Yeah. I know it's like basically like a feature length or a little bit longer than a feature length, but I don't know. Like, I think it might have just been, I don't know if it was, because I don't think there's anything that was wrong with the pacing per se. I just think I was just like really tired and not feeling great, and that might have contributed to my view of it dragging.
You can have your own opinion. Like, it's fine. You can, think whatever you want about it, but
yeah. So, okay. I thought it dragged, you thought it didn't drag. I don't know. Listeners, tell us what you think, because I'm curious if you thought the episode dragged or not. I thought the pacing was good, though, honestly. I think I was just tired.
So what were your, like, initial thoughts or whatever?
It was really nice to see the gang back together. I thought the cinematography was gorgeous as usual, especially starting off with that beautiful shot of, like, Kala swimming and then everyone swimming with her, and it was just like, oh my gosh, the Sensei group is back! But it was just really nice, you know? And, like, throughout the episode, it was just really pretty and just shot very well, so. And also, like, Kala's scenes were all very, very, like, lush and colorful and just, like, oh, so nice.
Yeah, it makes me want to go and travel and stuff. But, anyway, I watched Sensei a year and a half ago. And so even though I've been kind of doing this, rewatch with you, it's still just rewatching episodes that I've already seen, and so getting to see the characters that I love, moving forward with their story, when I haven't seen them for a year and a half. Like, it was just so wonderful. And I thought it'd be, you know, a little difficult to get back into, but maybe because we had just rewatched it, or just because I think they give you a really nice introduction to each of the characters again. It was just, I fell right back into it, and I just can't wait for the rest of the season. It makes me worried about the future of Sensei after this, you know, but for the moment, I'm happy.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, for you, it was a different viewing experience, because I had just seen the whole show and just finished it, so it was all pretty fresh in my head.
For me, it was extremely precious, because I missed them, you know? I've been wondering what...
Will you switch over to your computer mic?
Yeah.
Because it still sounds like your blue snowball over the hangouts.
No, I did.
Okay, that's weird. I'm still getting that weird fade out thing. Sorry. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really precious for me to kind of connect back with the characters. And, you know, I've been sitting there wondering what's going to happen to all of them, basically. Well, the main eight, essentially. And I've been wondering whether Sensei can take it to the next level with the characterization and with, you know, plotting, and seeing whether they can kind of maintain the acceleration that they started in the middle of the season. And so it was really heartening for me, I think, because I think they did a really good job with kind of maintaining the like the heart of each of the individual plots, but also amping them up.
Right. Which is kind of like different for a US Christmas special. You know, I feel like generally like plot stuff doesn't happen. And I'm totally like grabbing this from AV Club's review, but I totally agree. Like, I feel like Christmas specials usually aren't super plot heavy. At least not in the US. So when I see that, I mean, like, I'm used to that kind of stuff in, like, I guess, like, UK series. Like, if you're familiar with, like, the Doctor Who TV series, like, usually stuff goes down in the Christmas specials that are important
to
the plot.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. But then again, I don't really... I think the way that they're done, UK versus US, is very different, I think. Because, like, in terms of, let's say, Doctor Who, a lot of times they'll just do a Christmas special as kind of a one-off thing and be like, well, the rest of the season's not going to come out for, you know, another 7 months or something.
Well, I mean, you've had Christmas specials where, like, a new Doctor will appear. Or, for instance, like, how is the whole seven-month gap different from, like, we're getting Christmas special on December 23rd and the next episode's coming out in May? You know what I mean? Like,
No. I would compare this closer to the UK show. That's exactly what I mean.
I see what you mean.
But, like, that kind of thing just doesn't happen. Like, in an American TV show, usually it's kind of done in sequence. Even if they do kind of a Christmas episode, it's really done in sequence with the rest of the show. And so it kind of has the ability to not be particularly plot heavy. But for a show that's going to just be airing on its own, it has to kind of draw you in with the same things that you loved about the original show. Otherwise, you're not going to be as tempted to come back, you know, 6 months later. It has to keep drawing you in.
Oh, and just like a note to the listeners, if you're hearing like a scraping noise, that's because my landlord is like shoveling snow around the house, because there was like a massive snowstorm like yesterday. So
how many inches did you end up with?
I have no idea. I do know that there are lights outside of my, like, there's, like, trees with, like, lights installed underneath the trees. So the trees get kind of lit up at night.
Yeah.
And I know it almost covered up, or was just about to cover up, like, those two lights. So it's however high those lights are.
That means nothing to me, but
no, okay. I don't know how many inches tall those lights are. I think I was looking at a forecast, and it said something like 3 to 5 inches. It was probably on the heavier side of that, so, like, 5 inches, 6 inches.
Yeah, I think that's about what we got.
Yeah, I was just, like, hibernating in my house. I did not want to leave.
So, yeah, same.
Yeah.
So, I actually didn't take notes when I watched this episode.
I did. I took so many notes.
Usually I, you know, I take very thorough notes when I watch a TV episode, because I think a lot of times, you know, the TV episodes will kind of blend into each other, and when I watch a movie, I have a lot more, like, outright opinions, and so I don't really need to take quite as many notes, but for this one, I was like, I was only going to watch this once. I wasn't going to do a double watch of this, once to watch, once to take notes. And so I said, I'm going to just enjoy it and not take notes every 5 seconds, because I don't know how to take a few notes. I can only take, it's either 0 pages or 10 pages. And so I decided to go with the 0. But it's still, you know, it's in my noggin someplace. And, you know, when I decide not to take notes, sometimes I... you know, we'll kind of still kind of jot a few things down. But that happened almost never for this episode, because I was just so into it. I just really, really liked it. I think that's kind of the takeaway here. I was just really involved in it. And I was, and sometimes when I watch things to podcast about them, I'll be thinking, oh, what should I be talking about? You know, what kind of things are going on? And I just wasn't even thinking about that. I was just sitting there enjoying the episode. And, I mean, they were still... it wasn't a perfect episode. There were still, like, some frustrations that I had, but overall, it made me feel happy, and it made me feel, like, really invigorated for the upcoming season of Sense8, and I just really liked it.
Aww. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I totally get that. Like, it was really nice to see. It's not the same experience for me, because I had seen them, so, I mean, I know we were rewatching or whatever, but, you know, like you were saying, it's been such a long time since you've seen new content, and it was a different experience for me, because I just finished the finale for the first time. But yeah, I could totally see it. Like, I know I get teary-eyed when, like, my the newest Star Trek movie comes out, and I'm like, oh my god, you're back! And I totally get, like, I totally freak out about that stuff, so totally understand. I remember, like, what was it? I think Doctor Who came back, I'm not sure how long the gap was, but I know when I was watching, the first season I watched was season 5 of the new series, which was when Matt Smith started, and I think it stopped in the summertime, and then it came back for the Christmas special, and I was totally crying at, like, the intro. Like, nothing even happened yet. I just cried because I heard the theme song again. Like, yeah. Like, I totally get it. Like, those feels when your favorite show or one of your favorite shows comes back and you're like, oh my god, I've missed you. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I complain all, I mean, not all the time, but, you know, I never watch the opening to Sense8 because it's way too long and I get bored. But I actually watched it for this one. I was just like, I'm here and I'm here for everything that you are.
Aww. Yeah. I don't know. I think y'all who, like, skip the intros are missing out, because the intros change subtly every time, so, like, it's always something new and different, but whatever, that's just me being my nerdy film major self, so, you know. So, but I took plenty of notes.
Yeah, let's start.
So,
let's dive in.
I would love to dig in, and my notes were more, like, observations than anything, so we were just talking about that intro. I wrote, double rainbow! Exclamation point, because double rainbow.
Wait,
should I link
what?
To that vintage meme, as you like to say? I don't know. I'll have to worth linking to. Probably not. let's see. I'm trying to understand what I wrote. Only one something. Oh, only one Wachowski directing this one this time.
Yeah, I did notice that, yeah.
And Lana did make a cameo in this. I don't know if you caught that.
I did not.
It was towards the end of the episode when Felix and Wolfgang are walking through the crowd, and I saw a very distinct pink dreadlocked haired person walking past the camera, and I was like, oh, that's the director. So she totally shows up. I had my eye on you. But yeah, she makes a cameo a la Hitchcock in the show.
Yeah, she's just like Hitchcock.
Okay, let's not get crazy here. Actually, like, a cameo like Hitchcock.
You know what I really loved about this episode? It was that I feel like it took a lot of the secondary characters to the next level.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, we started kind of getting some depth about the characters. Like, you know, like, I can understand the first season kind of focusing on the main eight. But, you know, that was one of my complaints, is that some of the secondary characters seemed like they were just there to be perfect for the primary characters. But we started kind of getting some of the layers back of Hernando and Almanita, and was just really happy about that.
Yeah, and then, like, one thing I liked was, like, this is kind of the episode where, like, trust was a huge theme, and, like, letting, like, kind of everyone letting their secondary characters, or should I say seconds, letting the secondary characters, like, know, like, what was going on in their lives. Like, finally, Cassius tells his friend, like, I've been, like, there's this, like, spirit, this woman who kind of, like, gives me strength and does all this, like, I was like, yeah. Yes, they finally could, like, tell their friends about all the stuff that they're going through, you know? It's just really nice to see that, because it was, like, you know, it was about time, you know, so.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I feel like that was kind of inverted with Kala, though, because she starts trying to explain to Rajan.
And he totally shuts her down.
And Rajan has no idea. Somehow he is not thinking with his brain in this particular case.
Well,
and,
I mean, he's such a, like, logic-driven dude, right? So, like, I guess he's not going to automatically be like, oh, yeah, I totally, like, he does not seem the type who's going to be like, yeah, I totally believe in spirits, or I totally think that you're seeing, like, real, like, he's not that kind of guy.
But, like, from my perspective, the way it kind of felt, like, if I didn't believe in the Sensei universe, it felt like she was just feeling a lot of compassion towards other people who aren't as fortunate as she is. That's kind of how I read it. Because freaking
Rajan's loaded, yeah.
Ugh, Rajan.
Yeah, I had a lot of ugh Rajan moments in this episode. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah, but
we'll get to him.
We'll get to him, yeah.
So, I liked how there was a lot of water in the beginning. And, you know, it's, like, used a lot throughout this episode. But I was wondering, like, you know, water symbolism. Usually, like, life, right?
Yeah, like, birth sometimes.
Renewal, things like that. So, I mean, the interesting part about this episode, I didn't realize it would span the whole course of, like, a year. Or, like, a good chunk of a year. Because they went through so many different seasons. Like, it wasn't, like, it wasn't a traditional Christmas episode. I can't remember when it started. I think it was, like, summer-ish, because we start off with Kala on her honeymoon or whatever, and it's, like, it appears to be summertime or springtime or something, but then we end around Christmas time, New Year time, right? So, we go the span of, like, several months in the course of one episode, which is really strange.
Yeah, I was really surprised with that, but it ended up kind of working, because it felt like kind of an update of what's been going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's been gone for a year and a half. So I always feel a little weird when shows, you know, have taken a decent hiatus and then it starts up, like, the first episode, like, no time has passed, you know? And it's like,
right.
Because for the viewers, that's not quite true. And there's kind of this weird mismatch of perspectives. But I liked how they kind of took us from closer to where we were to where we are right now in terms of, you know, New Year's and whatever.
Yeah. It kind of worked out in a weird way. I wrote down, I envy anyone who can act underwater, because it's true. I do. I can barely act in real life.
I can't.
In air, on ground, on land.
I can't so act in, like, air.
Shut up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing, like, Leto's actor, I think is his name Miguel, or is it some,
I don't know.
His last name is, like, Silvestri or something. Anyway, whoever, the actor playing Leto did, like, a fantastic job of acting underwater, and, like, Sun did pretty good, too, or Duna Bay did pretty good, too, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, these guys can, like, act underwater, that's, like, crazy pants, like, I can't even act, like, on land, so it's like, wow, like, props to you guys. That must have been annoying, though. I mean, it looks gorgeous, but that must have been annoying to do. And I don't know how many times I have to reshoot stuff, but, like, yo. Crazy. I think... Okay, another thing I wrote down. Again, most of my notes are, like, just observations of stuff. Not really in-depth analysis of anything. But I like that Wolfgang's at the bar. And then spotlight that kind of Eurovision-esque... American Idol-esque show is playing on the television screen in the bar, and I was like, because it has a very distinctive, like, green, like, logo thing, and I was like, oh, nice callback to, like, that, like, earlier episode. Yeah, like, I appreciate small touches like that.
They did a lot of really good callbacks like that, where it kind of started invoking earlier moments in the previous season. And yeah, that was definitely one of my favorites, because that was such a distinctive moment for Wolfgang. I feel like that's, you know, where you really learn more about him, where he's watching the competitor, and then you have, you know, that flashback of when he's failing on stage with his father.
Poor Wolfgang. Can I just say, I'm just gonna say this real quick, but it annoys me to no end when, like, fanfic writers or fandom refer to Wolfgang as Wolfie. That, like, pisses me off so much. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I kind of do, but, like, it just annoys me. I just, like, I don't know. Like, the only one who calls him Wolfie are, like, his evil gangster not friends and, like, sometimes Felix. Like, yo. Anyway.
Well, rant over. I haven't really experienced that. Although I really enjoy Sense8, I haven't really touched much on the fandom, I guess.
Fandom isn't that large.
Yeah, but I think that's maybe one of the reasons why. But it should be larger. But, you know, I haven't really sought out any fan-created art or writing or anything like that.
Oh, I hardly look at fan art anymore. Like, unless I stumble upon good stuff on Tumblr, which I think I did stumble upon a really nice, cute fan art that I'll probably send to you, Melissa. I don't know if you guys want to see it. I could guess a link to it in the show notes. If I guess I could do that.
Why not?
It's cute, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something about nicknames that really gets me. I don't know. I generally don't call people by nicknames unless they ask me to, so maybe that's why. It's a personal thing. It's just weird to me, dude.
Maybe. Okay, let's dive into a little bit of Wolfgang then, because we talked about, you know, in the last episode, we were going through Wolfgang, and, you know, he hit a pretty dark place, and we were wondering...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not that he necessarily hit the dark place as much as we found out about his dark place, that he'd all...
Right.
You know, because we had seen him murder his father, and then we had seen him kind of confront his uncle, and, you know, kind of push Kala away because of his dark deeds. Yeah. We can kind of see the repercussions of that, and that Kala did end up marrying Rajan.
It's funny because I started reading a webcomic where someone else, a girl, also falls in love with a guy who has killed someone. But it's, like, a little bit less dark because, like, he did it accidentally and whatever. But it's, like, I've seen this trope before.
But, you know, we were thinking about, you know, maybe Wolfgang's going to go into more of an anti-hero kind of direction.
Right.
We kind of did see that. You know, we started seeing kind of the repercussions of his actions in the last season, that, you know, he's created a power vacuum with the gangs.
And he literally does not care at all. Like, his aunt's like, well, like, you killed your uncle, so you have to kind of, like, take ownership of this. And he's like, I literally don't care about this family anymore. Bye.
But he does care a little bit, because you can see...
He cares about Felix.
Yeah, he cares about Felix, and I think he does sort of care about this power vacuum.
Right.
Because you kind of see him veering a little closer to, you know, maybe taking up that position. You know, I don't think any kind of conclusions have been made about his direction, but I like that he hasn't lost the integrity of his character. Like, he still, you know, cares a lot about...
Yeah, he hasn't been, like, softened, or shall I say, with the trope name, wubified, because that would have been really annoying. He's still, like, his old self.
Yeah, but he still cares about, you know, Felix, and he still cares about Kala, and, like, he's complex, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was saying, like, I need more crazy German raver scenes, like, literally giving me life. I wrote Getterbra, and I think this is in reference to Wolfgang Fracala, but who knows? My notes are really weird sometimes. Let's see. I'm trying to think of any more notes on Wolfgang, because I think I generally just kind of, whenever it came to Wolfgang, I think I just watched and was like, okay. I don't know if I took too many notes on him.
Yeah. I liked, like, the action at the end with him. You know, I think that was a needed action-y moment where, you know, at the, I think it's the New Year's fireworks, where it's all the violence. And I just found that, I wouldn't call it like a good break from all the mushy stuff, because I really like all the mushy stuff, and so I'm not going to complain about it.
I don't think it was that mushy, honestly.
Not
mushy. I mean, for Sensei, I guess, but...
It's hard, because... I wouldn't call it filler. It just was... It felt like it focused on making me feel good. Right. Then kind of going... Because, like, Sensei has had its very violent moments before, and it kind of avoided those in this episode. This one... True. You could really even call this one a reactionary episode to a lot of the action that happened at the end of the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a cool down from all of that. Because, you know, a lot of them hit some pretty crazy moments. And so this, you could call it something of a reckoning for that.
Right. So I thought the whole sex farce part with him and Kala was hilarious.
That was
so awkward, but then, like, I was like, then I just rolled with it and was like, this is hysterical. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Just, like, that scene was so, like, I was, like, cringing, but then it just became, like, way too funny for me to care anymore, and I was like, this is hilarious. Like, when he starts slapping, like, the woman he's, like, sleeping with, and, like, Kyle's just, like, he's like, what was it? Like, Kyle's like, oh, treat her with respect, and he just starts slapping her, and she's just, like, done. And I was like, oh my god, I can't even right now. It's too funny.
Yeah,
it was too funny.
It was definitely, like, amusing, but it was also, it was giving the two of them, like, relationship issues without them being in a relationship.
Hasn't that always been their relationship, though?
That's true. But, you know, it's the connection that they share because of the sensate bond. I like how the Wachowskis are kind of pushing that to different places, not just necessarily the obvious places. They keep kind of pushing the boundaries of what that actually means for people in these kinds of relationships, and, you know, not necessarily the places that I would have gone, but it's clever.
Yeah. No, yeah, I thought it was utilized well, even though it was, like, yeah, it was, like, very much, like, sex farce, but, like, it was utilized pretty well.
It was amusing, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about Kala and Wolfgang's thing there, and then I think I had another note about... Oh, yeah, I liked how Wolfgang cleaned up the shop before Felix came over. I don't know. I guess it kind of represents that, like, new turning point in his life. You know, like, it's like it's not this grungy, dingy, sketchy looking shop. It's a little bit more legit now.
I loved that moment where Felix is like, I'm gonna turn over a new leaf and whatever, and he's just like, nah, I'm just effing with you, man.
Also, I love how, like, Felix is so trope aware.
Yeah.
Like, he gets it, dude. He's like, you're the Conan, I'm the sidekick. And, like, Wolfgang's like, no, no, no. And we're just like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
He is a sidekick. Felix gets this. And then when he's like, oh, they can't shoot me again. Like, that would ruin the narrative or the story. And I was like, don't tempt fate, but you right.
That line was phenomenal. Because, like, I think that when I'm watching shows, you know? Like, when you have a character who's close to death, and then they survive, it's very unlikely that they're going to die.
That's true.
Because, you know, you've already pushed all of those emotional notes before. The fact that they survived is irrelevant. You're not going to just start retreading those you know, the same direction that you were in, so it's very unlikely that this person's going to die. And like, that was just a really, that was just a really good moment. I wonder if Felix is going to continue being so self-aware, because I think that's a good direction for him to go.
I like trope-aware Felix. I enjoy him. I wrote when Wolfgang is just kind of walking along in the snow next to a bridge or slash river whatever thing. It looks suspiciously like the one that Will and Riley were next to a couple episodes ago. I was like, that is the least convincing snow-covered tree I've ever seen on television. It literally had, like, white blasted all up and down the sides. I was like, that's not how snow works. So, fail. Like, listen, I know fake TV snow is, like, really, like, soap flakes or whatever, and it's not gonna look like real snow because it's, like, way too textured and blah, blah, blah. And it would be really stupid and inconvenient to have real snow on set. Like, I get that, but like, that snow covered tree was like too egregious for me to not make note of. It was bad, dude. Like, trees do not, I literally was like looking outside my window and going, that's what a snow covered tree looks like. Okay, like, come on, guys. But maybe the Wachowskis have, I mean, are the Wachowskis like California born and bred people? Because maybe they just don't know what a snow covered tree looks like. I honestly don't know, dude.
I don't know. I couldn't.
It's hard for me to be watching Sense8 during a snowstorm, and then like there's the most awkward looking tree, like in the show, and I'm like, why is this happening? I also liked, I think Wolfgang was drawing Krampus on his store window, which was pretty funny to me if that was really Krampus. Let's see if there's anything else. I talked about the Lana Wachowski cameo. My one last weird note about Wolfgang, and this is more, again, observations about the show, was, like, they enter that, like, kind of closed-off parking lot area to fight, right? And then they fight. And when the fight is done and Wolfgang is leaving, there's a garbage fire. Like, there's literally, like a garbage... You know those, like, you know those... Not a garbage fire. It's, like, an oil drum. You're familiar with those?
Yeah.
You know, so there's, like, an oil drum that's set aflame, presumably to keep warm or whatever, burn garbage or whatever, that's, you know, lit up in the corner. I was like, that was not there when they entered the parking lot. What is this continuity error? So that was bizarre. I was like, who set this fire? When did this happen? What is going on?
It couldn't have happened during the fight.
Why would anyone set an oil drum on fire except for like a hobo who lives nearby and needs warmth? Like, when did this, like, that fire was not, I don't think that fire, but I don't know, whatever, I'm probably just nitpicking over nothing. It's possible that I was viewing it wrong, and maybe the oil drum fire was outside of the parking lot area, like in that street where people were running from the guy's guns. That's also a possibility, but it was just like really strange to me. I was like, this seems inconsistent. So anyway, those were my like mini observations about random visual stuff in Wolfgang scenes.
Yeah, I really,
that tree will always bother me.
I really liked, you know, how Wolfgang came to rely on some of the other Sense8s in the fight.
Yeah.
Because, like, in the beginning, like, he was just kind of on his own and just gonna fight him off, you know, using his Wolfgang skills.
Is it bad that when you said on my own for the second time today, I wanted to break down into that Les Mis song?
On my own.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
That's not bad. That's completely acceptable. Yeah, that's all for Wolfgang. You know who we really should talk about now?
Colin.
Cappius. Uh-oh. What?
Okay, so why do you want to talk about Cappius now?
Because we haven't talked about the elephant in the room with Cappius yet.
Oh, yeah, that was great, though. Okay, so Cappius has a new actor, and they totally lampshaded that all the way. Maybe they lampshaded a little bit too much in the beginning, but it was still pretty good. Because I had that same thought. I was like, how are they going to deal with the new actor change? They're either going to ignore it or they're going to allude to it. And boy, did they allude to it.
And I think that was a clever way to introduce him, but
it went on a little too long, perhaps.
I can definitely see that, yeah. But my problem with him isn't that particular scene. It was more like he just doesn't have the same aura to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought he did a pretty good job of capturing Cappius, but I guess he does seem like a more serious character overall. So
he doesn't have like that hard. Bubbliness. Like the
Yeah, like Cappius is like a kid, smile. You know?
Yeah.
Like he feels like too grown up.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah. But I think he did a fairly good job of trying to recreate Cappius. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, he's okay. Not like excellent, but he's alright. I felt like his accent wasn't quite as consistent as the old Cappius. I felt like there was times where I could hear his accent slipping a little bit. But that's not really something that bothers me too much. Unless it gets really bad.
I think it was a good call to not have him do too much in this episode, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because I think we need some time to kind of acclimate to him. There's, you know, the physical differences between the two actors, and that's whatever. Like, what are you going to do about that? Mm-hmm. It was more like the aura and, like, you know, like the smile and just he holds himself differently. And that was kind of the way that I was really struggling with it. You know, it's too bad that this happened.
Yeah. It would have been nice to keep the original Cappius, but, you know, things happen, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, life happens. I'm not doubting that.
I'm trying to think of any... I think I have some notes on Cappius, but I'm trying to find it. Probably next time I do, so I should color code my notes based on character.
Yeah, I group them by character when I take them.
Because I write my notes. I don't put them on a computer, so it's hard for me to group them or anything.
Yeah, that can be rough. The thing about Cappius is that we had talked about in the last episode of Sensei that we don't really know where he is, you know, with his, you know, former boss.
Story.
The drug lord. And we see that there isn't really...
Yeah, isn't, like, Kabaka's relationship is really weird.
Yeah, there isn't really any tension anymore. I mean, a little
kind
tension.
Kind of, because, like, he's kind of calling him out on it. He's like, well, like... I mean, I think, yeah, I get Kabaka saying, like, healthcare should be a universal right, like, for sure. But, like, also, you're a drug dealer, so, like, that's kind of a conflict of interest right there.
Yeah. You could say that. but the tension between Mr. Kabaka and Cappius is, I think, was somewhat abated by the end of the episode. You know, it was because, you know, he gives him the new Van Damme.
But, yeah, like, you can tell Cappius is kind of conflicted about that new van. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't buy it?
I think he is conflicted, but I don't think it's going to amount to anything.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Mr. Kabaka seems like he has his crap together.
What did you think of the scene when it explodes and they go flying?
That was hilarious. But it also felt very strange. Like, why did it explode after, like...
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit much. I was like, oh, let's go get a fire extinguisher and put it out. And no, it exploded. I was like, but I think, you know, for practical reasons, they just want to get rid of the bullet-ridden van. Or bullet-riddled van. So.
Yeah. And it, well,
I understand from the show, like, practical reasons, you know, but, like,
well, it's set up a need, you know? Because, like, Cappius would never accept a new van unless his old van was kaput. And they made it kaput.
Yeah. They definitely did. Let's see. I don't really have any notes on Cappius, honestly.
Yeah, that was about it for me.
I think that's pretty much it. Shall we move on to Kala?
Sure.
The reason I went from Wolf King to Kala, because that's generally, like, the strongest
connection. That's generally how we do it, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Kala has married Rajan, and that was weird because they never, I mean, I don't know if they ever, I mean, they mentioned the honeymoon. And I let me say this, I do like how they kind of subtly drop that instead of kind of saying it outright, if that makes sense.
Mm, yeah.
Like, they didn't say, it wasn't like the very first moment we saw Kala and Rajan, they're like, yes, we are on a honeymoon today. You know what I mean? It wasn't like yes. that. It was like just later on when they're seeing the doctor in, I guess, Italy, they're like, oh yeah, we're on our honeymoon. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what's happened. Okay. Oh, that makes sense. You know? I think Colin may have mentioned honeymoon earlier. I feel like
they dropped
it
a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, but it wasn't like anything super like, we are on a honeymoon because we just got married and let me read it, this information, blah. Like, yeah, I like how they were a little more subtle with it.
Yeah, I was glad that we didn't actually see their wedding because we had already seen their failed wedding and like I didn't need to go through that again.
We need to see that ish again, so yeah. Hold on, I gotta write that note down. 49. But yeah, so
about Rajan,
they're on a gorgeous like, honeymoon in Italy or something.
Like, there's a part of me that's like, I need a Rajan, because I want to go on a gorgeous honeymoon to Italy. But
do you need a Rajan?
No, I don't.
He's kind of a jerk. Kind of a jerk.
He has his moments.
Yeah.
But there's just this... Maybe it's a self-centeredness, but there
your
were
self-centeredness or his self-centeredness?
His self-centeredness.
Okay.
But there was a few moments of redemption for him, I think. And maybe that part
yeah,
of them is just
yeah.
like how much he, you can see he genuinely cares about Kala, even if Kala still has mixed feelings.
Yeah.
But the big moment for me was when they're having like a, kind of like a deep conversation. He's like, yeah, like. When I really want something, you know, like I kind of really focus on it. I don't remember the exact. I didn't write down the exact.
This was
text.
After, yeah. This is after Kalski is the packed bags, and goes to talk to him.
Yeah. So.
And she's wearing that pink dress or whatever. Yeah, I remember
yeah.
this.
She had great outfits in this episode. Like,
oh yeah.
She was gorgeous, but like you know, because we had complained all throughout the last season, you know how. Kala is so obviously unhappy, you know, and
yeah.
Rajan just has no idea, and it's, you know, pretty ridiculous, but this
yeah.
is kind of like a somewhat of an answer to that.
Yeah.
And again, it's more of a deepening our understanding of the secondary characters, and I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I appreciated that. I mean, like, we are, even though, like, Rajan's not exactly the good guy, or, like, the greatest person in this
no.
like we do get he's a flaw but he's a like somewhat complex not like super complex but he has you know he's not like a one-dimensional
yeah.
character anymore he's getting some more nuance and stuff for sure
yeah and I'm glad that he isn't just like a jerk
yeah yeah
because I think that
would
have been a really
easy you know?
Venue to go down and I'm really glad that they didn't do that
yeah. What did you think of the word montage? That's what I called it in my head. So when Rajan brings up the fact that he talked to Kala's mother and like went to ask if she was a virgin, and then she's like, I hate that word. And then suddenly we get like a whole word montage of like all the sensei saying like that's like that word that they hate. So we see like the N-word, we see like pig for Will. If we see like slut, we see other derogatory words kind of flashing. As Leto is kind of looking at the word faggot sprayed on his apartment or whatever. Like, so what do you think of the word montage?
I think it was really well done.
Okay.
Personally, I think it would have been really, really easy to go overboard with it.
Okay.
And kind of go too overt and too just, you know, pounding your brain in with like, oh my gosh, you know, like this is, we're going to start lecturing at you right now. But I think that they played it off pretty well.
Right. I thought it was, like, a little anvilicious, but, like, overall I appreciated it. Yeah. Because it could have been a little bit more heavy-handed, but I thought it was a pretty good approach. And I like how it tied back into, like, what Leto's seeing and how that kind of ties in with, like, everyone else in the cluster.
Yeah. I felt for Leto in this episode, man.
Oh, man.
Poor Leto.
I did not... I did not think that this was an episode where the whole outing would happen. That was probably, like, the least, the thing I expected the least.
Yeah.
And that really surprised me, but I think it worked. But we'll get to Leto in a bit. Sorry. I have one more note about Cassius. I just stumbled upon it. I love how the friend, makes a comment on how many bullet holes there are in the van, and, like, the more I look at this, like, the more impossible it looks. I think that was a shout out to, like, you know, we had talked about how, like, how did he survive that? That doesn't even make sense. And, like, yeah, the show is self-aware. They totally, like, call themselves out on it, which is great.
You know what it actually reminds me of? It had its moments where it reminded me of, and this is meant as a compliment, even though it's not going to sound that way. It reminded me of Glee. Because Glee had its flaws. Oh, Lord, did it have its flaws. It knew what they were most of the time, and it made fun of its own flaws. It didn't make the show more cohesive or better, but it made it, like, we weren't just watching a sinking ship. The creators also knew it was a sinking ship. And not that, so, like, and I don't mean it that way for Sense8 exactly, but having the writers and the creators have an awareness of the inherent flaws in their own creations and kind of making jokes about them is so appreciated.
I appreciate it.
And I honestly love when shows do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it happened multiple times in this episode, and I really hope that is something that continues to go forward, because I don't really remember many moments like that in the first season, really. And maybe part of it is,
yeah.
I don't know exactly when they filmed this, but there, you know, I'm sure there was a break. And so maybe, you know, some distance was able kind of to give them more, you know,
time
to step away
them,
from it
kind
a
of
little
analyze
bit.
Analyze their own show. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't really have too many notes on Kala's situation. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love how, you know, she pops up in Sun's cell, and she's like, I don't know why I'm here. And Sun just gives her, like, this look that I lived for. I've given people that look. I've been the Sun. I've also been the Kala in that situation where someone just gives me the look. And I was like, that is perfect. It was so good. It was. And she's like, I think we both know how this works now. And I was like, yes, yes, call her out on it. It was great.
Yeah,
it
was.
It was great.
Yeah, there were some really great moments
in this. Yeah, episode. And I liked how Sun was like, you know, like, she, so Kala kind of opens up to Sun and says, like, yeah, like, so this is probably, like, the first time. No, not probably. This is, like, the first time I'm going to have sex with Rajan, and I feel really, like, awkward and scared. And then Sun's like, well, it's, like, not a thing to be scared of. And that's, like, why we exist, is because sex happened. So, like, it's not something you should be scared of. And it's like, aww.
Yeah.
And then we get some interesting backstory with Sun, and that's really interesting. And we can go into that later,
yeah.
I guess.
I mean, we can transition right now, honestly.
Should we? Okay. I don't know. Was there any more you want to talk about Kala? Or
no.
Kala? Or not really?
No.
But yeah. I think we all kind of know, like, Kala's obviously still has a lot of mixed feelings about Wolfgang and Rajan, and she needs to sort that ish out. Like, I still cannot, but, like, part of me's like, girl, even Rajan gave you an out in this episode. Like, and I know you don't want to rush it, but, like, come on, man. Like, if you're still, like, mentally transporting Wolfgang, oh, do you have to leave?
I actually have to just go grab my computer charger.
Okay, cool. So we'll take a quick break. Okay, so we're back. Let me just mark the time code. Okay, so we're back. I think we were talking about Kala and Sun talking about sex and how it shouldn't be scary. And then I asked if you had any more things to talk about with Kala. Oh, yeah, and I was talking about how, like, Kala should kind of recognize that she still has these mixed feelings, and that's still really complicated and stuff. So, like, I kind of am disappointed in her that she had an out and she didn't take it. Again, for, like, the third time, I'm like, okay, Kala, like, okay, maybe you're more conflicted about this than I would be, but, like, seriously, What the heck? Like, if you're still astral projecting, like freaking Wolfgang having sex with his, like, you know, casual sex partner,
his lady,
when you're about
friend.
To have sex with your husband, like, you got issues. Like, girl, seriously, like, this, like, you can't just, like, brush it off, like, oh, like, I'll get over this. Like, clearly you're not over this. So
yeah. I worry about this show dragging this out too long. This
yeah,
episode,
it's tiresome. It's tiresome. And it's,
I
like, the third time
it.
She's... What?
I didn't mind it for this episode, because...
No, it was okay for this episode, but if they keep going this route, it's just gonna be, like, annoying and cyclical and, like, repetitive. Like, get over it. Like...
Yeah.
And how many times... Like, okay, she got the father-in-law's blessing. I mean, she talked to her parents, or her, at least her dad, at least. Like, even Rodan's like, hey, like, I can kind of tell now that I've kind of, you know, cleared my head about this. Like, hey, like, you're probably having some mixed feelings about... Like... Girl, like, everyone knows you have mixed feelings about this. You should know that you have mixed feelings about this.
Like,
come on, lady.
I don't mind if they start, like, either any of the directions that she starts going down, I don't mind her going down them. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like there's basically three directions she could go down. One, mm-hmm. she disavows men temporarily and leaves both Rajan and does not hook up with Wolfgang. Two,
okay.
leaves Rajan and hooks up with Wolfgang. And three, stays with Rajan. I don't mind any of those, honestly.
Sure.
Assuming that she commits to what she does. Like, I don't want her to stay with Rajan while beats
You gotta
Wolfgang.
Commit.
You gotta commit. Yeah, exactly. Like, if she stays with Rajan and starts developing legitimate feelings for him, that's fine. I don't mind that as a viewer, but I don't
I just
want
don't
her to
see
be
that
saying
on her
this
face. Like, she still has that same, like, oh, I don't know, I
yeah.
feel conflicted face that she had for, like, the whole first season. I see it on your face, girl. Like, get over it. Like, make a choice.
I mean,
so
I relate
indecisive.
To Kala a lot, and she
she's you.
She is me, so it's hard to be too hard on her personally, because I'm also extremely indecisive with things like this.
That's just, like, not my thing. I mean, I can be... I mean, not that I don't have my moments of indecision or whatever. I just, like... That is... Like, Kyle's situation is not a situation I don't think I would ever find myself in, because that's just not a thing I would do. Like, I would just, like... Well, we've talked about stuff. but I would just probably, like, go for Wolfgang. I'd probably just, like... wait, make my choices, line up all my cards, and then, like, once everything's good, be like, all right, divorcing you, moving on to Wolfgang, bye, see you later. Like, that's probably what I would do. But yeah, I know it's, like, my personality and not Kala's, so I'm just,
it's
like,
just frustrating for a viewer,
yeah,
to just watch her be so indecisive for so long. I'm surprised
I get
she got married,
trying
though.
To see my friends choose which type of food we're gonna eat that night. Like, yeah, like, I've been there. So, like, it's like, okay, either Chinese, Italian, or Greek. You gotta pick one, okay? God.
I mean, I remember one time I was with one of my friends. You know her. And
okay.
we could not decide what we were gonna eat. And we ended up having a computer, like, randomly select
a
number.
Oh, my God.
Because we just could not decide. And neither of us wanted to make the decision.
Was this time period when I was out of the country?
Yes.
You guys. You guys, why?
Anyway, son.
Anyway.
Son.
Shake my head. Okay, son. Son had a lot in this episode. I mean, like, a lot to do, a lot of character development, a lot of stuff going on.
I love how she feels part of the action, even though she's stuck in jail.
No, it's great. I think that's, like, the only way she would not... Well, I'm not saying she would go crazy in solitary, but it's definitely easier to go through when you have, like, seven other people in your head.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see other stuff happening in the world. Like, she's, like, freaking... Yo, can I say, it made me so happy to see Sun having, like, the time of her life, like, at these parties, dancing, and stuff. Like, and she's, like, you know, like, you see her, like, running around her cell like a crazy person, but, like... It's just so nice, because, like, we never see her happy. And just, like, seeing her happy, like, several times in this episode, just, like, my heart. Oh, yeah. I love it. It's great. Oh, so good.
Yeah. But
so good.
I gotta say, like,
love Sun.
I want her out of that cell.
Oh, we all do. I mean, like, to reiterate what the lady in pink was saying, like, you know, like, you're never gonna get out of here. kind of just gotta, like, kind of go with it. But then, you know, her brother's, like, obviously making it, like, ridiculously hard for her to get out. Ugh, scumbag. I have no doubt in my mind now that he totally killed her dad. Like, that's just, yep. It's like, if I was unsure about it before, it's solidified now. Like, he totally did it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let me flip to some stuff.
I mean, she got some action, and, you know, she's... You know, she got action in this episode, and she was able to, you know, be a part of everything as well. But, you know, she... Her path going forward is going to be pretty difficult. Like, you know, yeah, we had the highest moment, you know, like the best moment, the best chance she had for getting out of prison was...
Was when her dad was alive and made up with her,
And now that her dad is deceased, it's going to be a hard road now. I don't know how they're going to get her out of it.
Well, you know, Nomi did bring up the whole, like, manipulating records and stuff thing. I don't know. I think the senseis might have to get, like, involved, like, in person, maybe. But it's weird. It's definitely going to be strange. Because she doesn't really have anyone looking out for her. I mean, unless you count the mentor character that we met way back. But, like...
He's a very minor.
We haven't seen him in such a... Yeah, we haven't seen him in such a long time. Like, who knows?
He does have the dog, though.
Does have the dog. Let's see. Do I have any notes about... I said, we'll see if the lawyer guy follows Sun's advice about staying away from the situation. I guess not, since those three goons stopped by. Who knows? Let's see. Is there anything else I have about Sun?
The only thing is that, like, the brother seems to be pretty paranoid, and the more that he tries to
hide it,
shush up Sun, the better chance Sun has of basically catching him at it.
Yeah, he's like a piece of crap.
It seems like he's going to bring about his own downfall.
Yeah, and we've seen before in the past season, he's not particularly competent. Mm-mm. So I don't think he's going to be able to maintain the facade for very long. I love her friendship with Sujin. Mm-hmm. And that drawing of her with a dog was, like, the most adorable thing. I'm kind of surprised that the guards let her tape it on her wall and didn't, like, rip it down. But, hey, I'll take what I can get.
Yep.
It was adorable. I said it was really funny to see everyone dancing in solitary. Because, like, that was just such a strange moment.
It was.
Just like I saw, I thought it was very... like, that must have been super annoying to cram everyone into a bathroom stall for that orgy scene. That must have been, like, a real pain.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. let's see. Anything else? I talked about Sun looking at Kala with that, like, look of disbelief.
Yeah. I really liked how they kind of... They really embraced how connected the senseis are.
Oh, yeah.
And how they just... I mean, they had a lot of moments where they were all together as eight. And, you know, we barely got that all in the last season. And now they're, you know, you see that they've... This is the episode that I'm just like, this show is reaching its potential of what it promised me.
Yeah, and to, again, I read AAV Club's article before I podcasted, and I probably shouldn't have. But, like,
whatever.
This is the most sensate-y episode ever.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Like, pretty much. Like, everything, like, there was a gigantic orgy scene.
Yep.
There was all eight of them together multiple times.
Check.
Like, you know, like, violence, whispers, crazy conspiracies, Jonas popped up. Angelica popped up. Like, the most sensate-y episode of Sensate ever.
And we'll get to this, I'm sure. But Angelica showing up, like, at the top of the... that was ridiculous.
The gay men's, the San Francisco gay men's choir.
And she was just standing there like the angel at the top of a tree. And I'm like, your name's Angelica, and you're standing like an angel, and you're dead. And
stop it.
It was, I don't know. There's a part of me that was like, this is too much. But then, like, a bigger part of me that was like, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I was okay with it. It didn't bother me that much. I did kind of go, like, okay, guys.
Yeah, that was my reaction. It was
all right. Yeah, I just love how, you know, like, even though Sun doesn't really have a family anymore, she has a family within, like, you know, her cellmates. And then same thing, you know, that larger theme of family, because it's a holiday episode, so you gotta talk about family.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, Leto coming home to his mother, and then, like, Will not being with his father, and, you know, Kathy's with his mom, because he always is, and then, you know, like, everything, like, just that larger theme of family, and Amanita's, did I get this right? Amanita has three dads? I think that's how that was supposed to be interpreted.
Was it?
I think
she
referred to all of them as dads.
I don't remember.
But yeah, Amanita's, family or extended family, rather, whatever, like, they coming together and saying, like, you know, we're here if you need support, and it's just like, oh, holiday episodes, family, togetherness,
and even, you know. Bug, like,
yeah,
he was all alone, and then he got, yeah, you know, to spend time with,
and that was really, you could tell he was really touched, and it was really something, yeah, he needed, and I was like, aw, I guess you reminded me, I was watching this YouTube series on, so I've been kind of staying away from BuzzFeed for a while, but there's this
one.
That's
a great thing to do. I wish I had that.
But there was this one series that I was interested in on BuzzFeed that came out a while ago, and they every once in a while they'll upload a new episode, and it's called Opposite Sex Roommate. And I was like, this is pertinent to my situation. So I was watching this episode, and they have a Christmas episode that they released recently, where both of the roommates have to stay in town for various reasons, and they have a creepy neighbor, kind of like Bug, and he kind of just invites himself over for the Christmas party, and it's like super awkward, but thankfully Bug was not like the creepy neighbor in that BuzzFeed series, so it was all good. But it was like, I was having like flashbacks to that, because I was like, oh no, it's gonna be like that Opposite Roommates episode, or Opposite Sex Roommates episode, but thankfully Bug was not super super creepy, and it was fine.
No, Bug,
he behaved himself.
Bug is, you know, I had kind of mixed feelings on Bug last,
right,
I had mixed feelings on Bug last season, but he was, his heart's in the right place.
Yeah, it was a little bit creepy when he was like, angels, and it's like, okay, please don't do that. But yeah, he was fine, he seemed to be okay. And I love, of course, I love Amanita's costume changes, because don't we all live for those?
It reminds me of like on Community when the dean
Amanita is
in.
The dean, it all makes sense now, except there's no Jeff in the situation. No one's Jeff. Well, maybe Leto's a Jeff, maybe. It doesn't really work.
Actually, it does a little bit.
A little.
Let's not get into that.
So yeah. So shall we? Are any more about Sun? Do you want to talk? We didn't really go over like her situation with like the, is his name, who was the guy that she, like the guy that she fought when she was 17, and then they had sex in that locker room, and then
I don't know. Did we get a name for him?
We did. I just don't remember his name.
I don't remember what it was.
But yeah, that was like, I don't know, that was interesting backstory.
Yeah, I liked hearing about that.
It made sense. I could see that as a reaction to her father. So it worked for me. I was like, wow, I didn't really know Sun had it in her, but dang. Okay. And I guess I'm kind of surprised that they had like mixed gender locker rooms. Or in Korea, of all places? Like, that seemed a little implausible to me and a little strange. But whatever, I guess we're just gonna roll with it. I just, like, I'm pretty sure Korea would not have, like, based on what I know about Korea, I don't think that's a thing. I don't think there's a thing where you have mixed gender locker rooms. But
I don't know,
whatever.
I didn't really think about it. It was more like, I can't remember exactly the details, but it felt to me that he was just kind of there and not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It just seemed a little off to me, but
it could
whatever.
Be, yeah.
Like, I know they did it for story reasons, so it's like, whatever, fine, let's ignore this. Do you have any more stuff about Sensei? About Sun, rather. think that's it for Sun. Shall we move on to, did you mention her Nomi?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So with Nomi,
Nomi's a fugitive.
Nomi's a fugitive, but she's been a fugitive.
She has, but we haven't really felt the impact of it quite as much.
Right.
Like, the day-to-day. Like, we definitely saw her getting chased and whatever in the past, but we haven't felt like the day-to-day. Like, she can't leave her little apartment and, like, you know, she's basically stuck for the moment.
Right.
You know, like, her situation was a little iffy, and, I mean, I liked that they were had found shelter at it was like a women's shelter
mm-hmm.
or something like that
mm-hmm.
And you know they had found you know some kind of life that they could carve out together there but that you know wasn't sustainable. I liked the scene where the goons come in and they're looking for her and she's hiding.
Yeah
Like, you know, there was a part of me that was like, that she's definitely going to be found out, and I don't know what that's going to happen, but it was just kind of something to prompt.
Oh, we didn't talk about...
What?
We didn't talk about the goons that came and assaulted Sun.
Mmm. Yeah.
So, just to briefly, backtrack and go back to Sun, like, I wrote... Hello, Mr. Slickhair. You're definitely not a lawyer. Hell? So, yeah. Again, kind of, like, talking about how, like, when Sun's brother comes to see her and he has to, like, the actor has to act badly.
Yeah.
It was, like, the same thing here, right? Where it's like, the actor's acting badly thing and Leo's just like, these are, like, the worst actors ever. It was great.
Yeah.
And I love how, you know, like, Sun was able to utilize everyone's suggestions and strengths
yeah.
in order to win that fight. But yeah, like Will was saying, like, you can't, like, this is a difficult situation, you know, like hopefully that sends a signal to Sun's brother that you can't really kill her in prison because that doesn't work.
He can only make so many attempts before it starts looking awfully suspicious.
Yeah, like, come on.
But, you know, I'm sure he'll keep trying.
Because he's an idiot. Yeah. So, yeah, back to Nomi. When I first saw that, like, man in black, secret agent,
yeah.
whatever guy, step into the bookstore, I was just like, oh, this is just, like, Matrix all over again. You got the evil secret agent or whatever. Because, obviously.
Never trust the man in the suit.
Never trust the government men. Let's see. Anything else on
her? But I found it, like,
more on her.
I found it really cute that, like, Nomi was, like, watching her.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, like, the way they that was actually the first thing I noticed when I was looking at that scene. I immediately noticed the camera mm-hmm. in the corner.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really surprised when, like, it was like, oh, Nomi's watching. Because I kind of guessed that in advance. Because we had seen that in previous episodes, right, where she has spied on people,
yeah,
via
I think so.
Cameras, so yeah.
But it was usually like for more nefarious reasons. In this case, it was
right.
just kind of cute. They're
yeah.
so cute.
Yeah, they're adorable. Let's see, any more? I don't have too many notes on Nomi, but
honestly, it was more like just like cuteness.
Yeah, it was just like I love Nomi and Aminia together. They're great.
There was that moment where they're in they're in Bug's place and what was it? Sun was there
Sun was there? Oh, right. Wait, when she crushes the carton of food.
Yes, yes.
Because she's watching the Korean newscast involving
yes.
her brother. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love how Nomi's just like, you know, like, this is a new laptop, so, like, don't smash it.
No, I liked
how, like,
that. And
then just like, what is going on over there? It was good, though. That was a good moment.
It gave depth to the moment, like, implying, like, a shared history between them. that, you know, this had happened essentially before. But it was, you know, it's good to keep Sun in the loop. And, you know, I like how these kind of underrepresented pairs are starting to develop their own relationships. Not just the
again, ones like, to go back to Community real quick for a sec. Yeah. I always love an underutilized pair. It just, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Like, Shirley and Jeff, like, glorious. Glorious. We only got it really one time, but, like, it was good.
We had it, like, two or three times, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that show too well, but, like, the biggest interaction I remember is when, like, they're gossiping and stuff, and that leads to a whole thing.
Oh,
but
there was also a so pool, good. A pool one, wasn't it? Yeah, they're playing pool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter, but I really enjoyed, yeah, I love the underutilized pairs and seeing them again. I need more about Nomi and Amanita. I don't think so.
Not really, no.
All I had on them. Like, I'm always worried, you know, like, they're on the run from the government, so it's like, oh, who knows when Agent so-and-so will pop up. But then, like, I don't know. I know we have to talk about Will and Leto.
Yeah.
So, who shall we go with first? Leto?
Let's go with Leto, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Leto. So,
Leto. That was a rough one.
Huh?
It was rough.
Oh, yeah. That was hard to watch.
It was. And, you know, we had talked about at the end of last season, like, what was going to happen, because, yes, Leto took Daniela from, I can't remember what his name, oh, Joaquin. And, you know, yes, Daniela is safe now, but he still has the pictures, and we don't really know what's going to happen with it, but apparently we know now.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't realize this is a revelation that Hernando was a professor, or is a professor, and then his student just, like, freaking broadcasts that picture of him and Leto on the lecture hall screen, and I'm just like, you know he's gonna fail you, right? Like, that seems a little risky and extra.
Or maybe he's just thinking that the university is going to fire him.
Perhaps. I did have that idea as well. It's like, well, shoot, what about Hernando's job? Like, is he going to lose his job? What's going to happen there, you know? So, I don't know. Either way, I was like, you know, if he sticks around, he's going to fail you. So, I don't know why you did that, because that's a bad move, but okay.
Yeah, but that's what all the people were talking about. But, like, the whole class was gossiping about it, you know?
Right, right. No, I got that. I don't know, like, what... I'm just trying to think, like, if that happened, like, at our university, is that what would happen?
What, people gossiping? What do you mean?
Being so, like, obnoxious about it and overt about it? I don't know, like, I guess it's
I'd like to think we'd be sneakier.
We'd be what? Sneakier? Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, also, there's layers to this. Like, why right. exactly they're having, like,
you know, and culturally it's different.
And sure. That too, definitely. But also, Leto is, like, this huge star. It's that's like true. Having a professor who is making out or you know, having relations with, you know, Brad Pitt or something. Wow, that probably sure. aged me.
I don't think it aged you that much. But, yeah, I see what you mean.
You like, know?
Yeah,
that layer, like, that angle didn't, it was more like the fact that it was two men that they were really focusing on, but like that
also Leto has a huge like influence and he's like super well, yeah, sure, got it. I don't know, I've just gone like, yo, these kids are not subtle at all.
Nah.
Also, I have much admiration for Hernando for getting through that whole because holy smokes, like, I don't know how he kept it together. He was barely keeping it together. Like, I was just like, this poor man.
It was
just
so,
trying to give a lecture, okay? God.
It was so difficult to watch, but, like, he was so good. Like,
he
the way
was
that
so
he was,
good. So
what
good.
Did he say? That, about art, pulp.
Yeah.
What was that line?
Kind of like how, like, different people view things, and then.
Like, art is love made public or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, basically.
That was, it was really beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel so crazy about, like, Amanita and Noe being like, oh, they're so hot. Like, that was a little much.
I felt kind of uncomfortable. And, like...
Yeah. Like, okay.
Like, they were like, oh, well, don't you see the love here? And, like, and I was like, calm yourself. I understand.
Yeah, it was a little much.
You don't need to tell me. I already know who's, like, on the right here, okay?
Yeah. I like how they're watching Legally Blonde.
That was... I have strong feelings about Legally Blonde.
I do. I have no idea how much it cost for them to buy the rights to that show, that movie, but I appreciate it.
It was worth it. I don't know how much it was either, but it was worth it. I have such strong feelings about Legally Blonde. It's ridiculous. I love it so much.
I know, girl. let's see. I'm just trying to think. I have more stuff on Lita. Where is it?
You know, we get a little bit of background on Hernando about his parents, about what happened to them.
Right, they died on New Year's.
Yeah.
Sad.
It was really sad. But it kind of made, it deepened his relationship with, you know, Leto's mother. That that whole thing with his mom, like...
With Leto's mom?
It was...
Oh my god, we totally know where Leto gets his drama queenness from.
I know, right?
Holy smokes. Like, that was... It was like, yes. I mean, first of all, I'm surprised that she didn't reach out to Leto in support.
I mean, I know why, in terms of the show. Give him
space? Oh yeah, in terms of the show, but like...
But like,
Like, realistically.
It was a little weird.
But... Where's my note about his... mother,
because it was great tension, because it was like you have no idea what people's reaction is going to be, especially like his mom, like is she gonna be supportive or what.
Yeah,
and she, you know, no one else
totally psyched him out, totally psyched him out.
No
but
one
like,
shows up for the party, and she's
and that like ultra dramatic flair of hers, but like it was so, still like, kind of good, because I was like, oh,
was
I totally
so
get it from. It was so great. Yeah, but it was like that was a little bit unfair to him. Like, realistically, she should have like sent, yeah, I don't know, a message of support to
a
him.
A text.
Something. I'm just saying. Oh, I forgot to mention this, but I love the reindeer nose glasses thing that Noe is wearing in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
That was so great. It was so adorable. But yeah, I love that Leto's mom is there to support him. It's nice to get that, you know, like when he's getting all this hate from everyone else.
Yeah. And remember, I had said that I wanted to see all of their parents, basically. And so...
Whose parents?
All,
have
all
we seen everyone's
little.
Parents at this point? Okay, we've seen Riley's dad. We have seen... And mom, technically. We've seen Leto's dad. No, sorry. We've seen Will's dad. We've seen Leto's mother. We've seen son's father and mother. We've seen Cavius's mother. Who else?
Wolfgang's
dad.
Kala's
parents. And who's the person I'm forgetting?
Nomi.
Yeah, we've seen Nomi's mother.
Yeah, so we've
so,
seen...
yeah, we've seen everyone's
We've
parents.
Seen a parent from everyone.
Yay! We just haven't seen, like, little Leto. Like, kid Leto.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right? Did we get, like, kid flashbacks for everyone, too? We got Nomi. We got Cappius. We got Son. We got Will. I don't think we got kid Riley yet, did we?
Well, we got, not, like, a young kid playing her, but we have her when she meets, her husband.
Yeah, like, a younger Riley. So no, no kid Leto yet, or no, not really even younger Leto. Who am I missing? Oh, yeah, Kala, we get, like, kid Kala. So, yeah, we haven't seen, like, kid Leto yet.
Yeah, I think he's really the only really one. I have to go, Maggie. I'll be... back at
okay
some point,
so we'll take a break, but I think the only person we have left to discuss now is like Will and Riley, right?
Yeah, so it won't even take that long.
Okay, so we're back. It's been a couple of hours our time, so I don't know if we're gonna remember much of anything, but we'll give it a shot. I think the last people we were talking about were Leto, Hernando, and Daniela. Yeah, I think I had like a couple of extra things about them, but nothing like crazy detailed. I think my thing was with the orgy scene was like everyone has really nice butts in this cast and or good butt doubles. So
yeah.
I think that should be the name of our episode, butt doubles.
Good butt doubles.
Good butt doubles. That's all. That's all. That's all I had to say. It was extremely important. Butts are important. Okay, I think that is it. I think. Do you have any notes on Lito, Hernando, Daniela?
I just found Daniela, like, really compelling. Like, she, you know, her relationship with Lito's mom was just, like, really cute and stuff. And, like, she deserves good things, too. I like that the show hasn't, like, held her accountable for what she did, but, like, it hasn't, like, penalized her forever.
Punished her, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then finally, the last two people, the last two sensates, which had, like, they had more, it wasn't really Riley's story. It was more like...
Riley didn't really do anything except, like, protect Will.
Help Will. Yeah. So, it was more Will's arc than anything else, but let's talk about Will and also Jonas and Angelica and Whispers. So... Angelica. Yeah. So Will is like constantly being given doses of heroin. So Whispers doesn't find them. Him and Riley. So he looks horrible. He looks really bad. And now we understand kind of why Angelica looked so horrible, because she has that same like red face and just looks absolutely like the health is just not there. So okay, we know that Angelica's doing the same or did the same thing as Will. She tried to hide using drugs, but it didn't really work out because she ends up, you know, killing herself to protect, I guess, Jonas. I don't know if anyone else is in that cluster. Do you think that Ursa is in Jonas's cluster or someone else's cluster or what?
No, because I don't think the two of them are communicating, but honestly, who knows?
Because wasn't she saying, like, you know,
she knows of Jonas. I'm not sure quite how.
Right. Okay. Oh, sorry. I keep thinking back to people we've talked about before and remembering things, but I noticed, you know, at the end of this episode when Wolfgang is and Felix are fighting off those other guys with the guns, it was very reminiscent of when Felix first met Wolfgang.
Yeah, and, that's a good point.
Like, the setup was very similar because, you know, Felix runs away and comes back with a pipe and starts, you know, knocking people out. And also, it was just very strong because, you know, Felix starts getting kicked in the stomach, which is what happened in their very first meeting, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So that was a very strong connection for me. So I thought that was kind of well done, that kind of callback. What was I going to say? I'm just trying to go through the rest of my notes, make sure I didn't miss anything. Right. So, I liked how we got more backstory on Jonas and Angelica. You know, like, they used to live together, I think, and they were in some kind of wooded area, the cabin, which Jonas was like, oh, the cabin! So, I don't know. I wasn't sure, did they say where that was, exactly? Because I know we understood that when we see Whispers later... that he's in Stratford-upon-Avon, but I don't know if we ever find out where the cabin is specifically located. It kind of looked to me kind of like Muir Woods, but like woods look similar everywhere, so it could be a completely different place.
It was ambiguous for me, but it was nice to see kind of some shared history there. And, you know, start hinting at a bigger story and, you know, a bigger world than the one that we have been exposed to.
Right. And then, I'm looking at my notes. I'm not sure what this is referring to, what scene this is referring to, but it says, what's written on the wall behind Angelica? And it looks like Yomena or Yomina, but I don't know what that means. And I'm not, right, again, I don't remember exactly which Angelica scene this was, but something was written behind her. Which may prove to be important. I'm not sure. I'm just going through my notes just before we kind of get into it. But anything else? Do you want to jump in with anything? I have some more, like, just side, just stuff that caught my eye before we get into, like, the plot stuff. No. Okay. I noticed that, you know, there's a shot of Will sitting in a chair, and there's a mirror behind him, and it just reminded me of Lydia from Into the Badlands, because like it was like the same exact pose and everything. I said, F you, Melissa, I was right, because remember way back in our very first Sense8 episode, I was like, oh, did Angelica just kind of like give birth to this group of people? And you're like, oh, come on, Maggie, what are you talking about?
It's ridiculous, okay?
And you were making fun of me, and I was like, but like, that's kind of just what happened. And you were just like, but I was right.
It doesn't make any sense that somebody can birth a cluster.
Yeah, not really, because I guess it's like activating a cluster, perhaps. Because like, weren't they already born 30 to 20 something odd, 20 ish odd years ago? Like, how are they being birthed just now? But I guess
it doesn't make any sense.
We're looking at it from like,
honestly,
unless Angelica, like, I don't know, like activated the cluster in some way, I could like maybe buy that, you know?
I guess, like, but
then
it already had to have existed.
Didn't get... What?
It would have already existed if she activated it,
right? Because well, I think. Well, this is all theoretical, right? Because we don't actually have any concrete details on what the... But I think that makes more sense that she activated it and it already existed. Because, like, we already talked about how, oh, they were all born on the same day. And already, like, Will had some Sense8-like powers, right?
Yeah.
When he was a kid, being able to see Sarah Petrell and things like that. So I think the cluster already existed. I just think, like, their powers weren't really, like, I guess, like, fully activated until Angelica... So did whatever she did.
Clusters out there that haven't been activated.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, because like the show never really delves into it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that makes the most sense to me right now, because like I can't imagine, because yeah, like they didn't, most of them didn't start having these weird powers and stuff until or didn't experience this connection until Angelica did whatever she did and then killed herself, right? So like, I think it has to... But Will had you know, seen Sarah Petrell and some interaction with Whispers, sort of, in the past, so... I don't know. It's really weird.
Yeah. It's still...
This is a show, right? Like, it's just really weird.
I mean, I hope we get answers, but I don't know how good they're gonna be.
That's very true. That's very true.
I think feel like this was like the most depressing of the 8 plot lines. Like the others felt like
Because
had...
Will's being hunted by a person.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean the others had kind of some redemptive qualities, and although these had a sweet moment, like when they were ice skating, it was still everything was very bittersweet.
Yeah, Big Bad Wolf's after him and all that.
Awkward.
Random note that I forgot to mention earlier, but I love the little teddy bear in Nomi's bed in between her and Amanita when they're reading those books. It was just so cute. So cute. Okay, back to Will and Riley and, you know, the other BPO people. Sorry, I'm just going through my notes right now. Do I have anything?
I was really worried.
Will or Riley?
When
I might not have.
Will actually was seen by Whispers. And that we wouldn't really get anything from him, or everything we'd get from him would be in a dream. But it was nice that at least he was conscious enough.
Oh, thank
you
God.
We did get to see, and he even got some plot, you know, like with his dad. And that was really sad.
He got a lot more plot.
Joey
Pants is awesome. Like, he's such a good actor. I know it's like, he's so good. I just like, I need more of Will's dad. In the show.
I think we're gonna see
like,
more.
Like, he's so
of
depressing
him.
As a character, but like, he's just so good. And I don't know. Definitely, like, I don't know if I could say, like, relatable, but relatable.
Very human in a world of, like,
yeah,
special, amazing people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that about sums it up. I love his character.
I mean, I feel like a lot of the secondary characters can be broken up into, like, really bad guys and, like, really supportive guys. And he somewhere doesn't quite fall into either in category. Middle.
Yeah, he's not, like, super chipper, you know, sidekick, but he's not some evil, I'm going to kill you
person either. What was the name of Will's partner? I can't remember, but I loved him.
His name with a D?
Diego.
Diego, yeah.
I miss him.
There we go. Yeah, it's too bad we can't see Diego anymore, but he doesn't work for the police. Or, you mean, you know, he's being chased by the police now, so that's a thing. Too bad you can't get him roped back in, but I guess that would, like, you know, we kind of lose his job, so it won't really work out.
Yeah, for the moment, but, he's a little stuck.
Diego. Yeah. But yeah, I think what you said about Will's dad is, like, completely right. Like, he is, yeah, he's not, like, a super extreme character. Like, sometimes you can feel the other characters are kind of extreme. It's just, like, a very realistic person and human, so... Yeah.
Do you think it was a good or bad idea that Riley took Will out?
I think he needed it, because literally how many months have they just been, like, cooped up in different houses all over Iceland, just, like, running around?
Well, not,
like,
just over Iceland, they're all over.
They all over? I thought the assumption was that they were all over Iceland, but I guess that one makes sense too. Because, well, like, yeah, it has to be Iceland, because they're not going to get on a plane.
They were on a boat at the end of last season.
Right? Oh, right, what am I saying? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how far
that boat
can go.
Yeah, they're just all over.
I got the feeling that they were somewhere in Europe. Not Iceland, though. I mean, I guess they could be
but
in Iceland.
Still, it's hard to... Border control is a thing, Melissa. I mean, like, it's not, like... You know what I mean? Like, it's like if they see Will's passport is moving in between countries, like, they're gonna... I think the assumption is that they're stuck in Iceland, but they're just going to different houses all
over. Yeah, but Iceland isn't that big. Wouldn't Whispers just find them then?
I guess. I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter.
No, not really.
But, yeah, I did like how we got more about Whispers, you know, how apparently he's married and has a child. Maybe, like, who knows if, like, he's messing with Will or not.
I liked that side of it, how, that, like, maybe it wasn't even real, that maybe he's just doing it to mess with him.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, Jonah's saying, like, you're not the first person to try to hide in the corners of his mind to escape from him and things like that. Yeah. Stratford-upon-Avon's, like, beautiful, by the way. It does look a lot like that. I guess I don't know if they went there for filming. That would make sense. It looked like the height of summer or something. I don't know. It's just very gorgeous. And so, yeah, backstory on Whispers, interestingly enough. And Whispers is, like, does not care. He's, like, willing to wait. Sorry. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing the song. But, you know, he's willing to wait for Will to... He's willing to wait for Will to come to him, upon him, or whatever. Because he keeps saying, like, it doesn't really matter where you are. Like, I know eventually you'll, like, give in.
Yeah.
Or kill yourself or something, right? Let's see. Do I have any more notes about Will? Or... I have a random note about Shia LaBeouf. And I think this is in reference to...
Actual cannibal?
No. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. I think this was in reference to the that, like, you know, the Shia LaBeouf Rob Cantor video song, but I can't remember what in the episode triggered that memory for me, so I have no idea. It looks like I wrote it down right after I said love imagery of ice, and then that was so. This was, like, in... But so, looking at my notes, Leto had that scene with his mom. And then something about, I love the imagery of ice. And then something about Shia LaBeouf.
I'm sure it's not important.
And then Yeah. But it was related to something. I know I didn't just bring up for no reason.
I often think of Shia LaBeouf. I really liked how supportive Riley was and how competent she was with taking care of Will. And, you know, this isn't easy for her either. But
yeah,
even though, like, her whole world is Will right now, you know, she has a lot of strength and, you know, she's carrying, you know, his difficulties on her back.
I was trying to figure out, like, how is she funding this? I mean, does she still have a lot of money left over from DJing slash, because didn't she just throw away a ton of, like, where is she getting the money to get all these drugs and buy all these drugs? Is she just calling upon favors upon, like, I'm not sure how she's doing
I think
this,
it might be
sense.
Favors, but also it could be, like, you know, her, what's his name, Sven, or, you know, her family or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because that just seems like such a strange, well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe, I mean, I guess clearly she found some way to work it out and the details don't matter that much, but it's just a little strange and I was trying to puzzle out, like, how is she funding this?
Don't worry about it.
Etc. Yeah, that's like every sci-fi show ever, right? Like, small details that don't add up? Don't worry about it. It's all good. Yeah, so I guess that's all the notes I had on just, like, random details I noticed about, like, throughout. Is that your dog? What is that noise?
I don't know.
Oh. Is someone cooking in the kitchen or something?
Maybe.
I just hear some kind of rhythmic noise. It's really weird. Okay. But yeah, so... Yeah, I don't know. Will's relationship with his dad just, like, breaks my heart. It's like, my God. It's so good, though. It's super... I mean, and I love how, like, Whispers is like, you know, like, I don't need to know where you are because I know where other people in your life are and I can go after them.
It was a good sentiment. Just, like, I mean, not, like, good, but...
toying with him. And, like, what the heck is Whispers doing in Chicago with Will's dad on Christmas Day? Like...
What a sad life he must live.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, seriously. I was like, really? Dude, like, you're gonna... I guess it strategically it makes sense, right? Because he knows, like, the day that he's probably gonna let his guard down is probably gonna be on Christmas, so... And it also seems like maybe he's been in contact with Will's dad for some time now. Although,
sure.
Like, I don't know. That seems a little thin to me, too. Well, wasn't he talking about AA?
Well, just because he knows about him. I feel like he did, like, sneaky research.
Who knows about who?
Whispers. Did, like...
No, but Will's dad brings up AA to Whispers as if Whispers is also an AA. That's how I read it. I don't know, maybe I read it wrong. Okay. I don't know, it just seemed a little, strange. So, because I was under the impression that, Whispers had joined the local AA chapter to kind of infiltrate and just kind of try to get access to Will's dad and build a relationship so he could. But then also it doesn't really make sense either, because if that's the case, well then, like, why is Will's dad just so, like, yeah, I'm part of AA, yet, and you're part of AA, yet, please keep on pouring, you know, whiskey into my cup. You know what I mean? Like, that was also a little
strange. Yeah, no, probably not.
So, I think I'm going to take back my idea that Whispers infiltrated AA to see Will's dad. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, that was a scary moment, right? Because we're like, well, what if he, like, just, like, kills...
Yeah, he could do anything.
...Will's dad right now.
But that would be, you know, losing his leverage. So, it'd be kind of silly.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, he has the power to do so.
And that was exactly the point.
Message that he was sending. Yeah. So, I don't know, that was scary. I don't know, like, I guess the only thing I could think of is, like, oh, Will's got to get his dad into hiding, but then how does he do that without, you know, like, it just makes things more complicated and difficult, so.
It's going to be messy for him going forward.
I don't know what's going on with Jonas. Like, he keeps getting carted around, but, like, who knows where he is at this point. Seriously. Like, but he's been helpful, and I'm sure we'll learn more about him and Angelica and his old
I really hope to
in the coming season. I don't think they're gonna just introduce a location like that and not go back to it. I think that's all I had on this episode. Do you have any more ideas or thoughts?
No, not really. I liked how I finished it, and I felt excited for the upcoming season.
May 5th.
Yeah, I hope we get season after that, but, you know, one day at a time. One episode at a time.
One season at a time.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it, and it felt like it actually lived up to Sense8's potential.
Yeah, I just want to see more of the show. I want to get more from these characters. It's just, I just want Kala to be put out of her freaking misery, man. Like, please, make it stop. Just make it stop. And also Sun. Like, Sun needs to get out of jail. Like, this is unacceptable for me.
I want them to, like, meet more.
I just hope they get...
I want them to meet in real life.
Yeah, so far it's just been Riley and, Well, you will. But that would be, like, that would be height. Like, finale should be everyone meeting in real life. That would be amazing.
Yeah, ugh. They can all, like, touch and be like, whoa.
Yeah. And and then have a real life orgy. But my favorite thing was, like, those dance scenes. Like, I know it's pure fluff, and I just don't care.
I don't care either.
Okay? So good. So, and you could see the actors having fun and having the time of their lives. And I was like, yes, I need more happiness and lightness in Sense8. It's just so, like, dark and heavy sometimes. So, just really nice. Nice, fluffy Christmas, New Year special thing. And so good. So, yeah, this is our first podcast of 2017. Yeehaw. Woo! So hopefully there will be many more episodes to come of Sci-Fi in Color. So you can support us by liking our page on Facebook, following us on Tumblr and Twitter, leaving reviews of us on iTunes. That would be super great so we can get more people to learn about the show. And yeah, like, feel free to suggest new shows to us. You can also email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. I'm Maggie, signing off.
And I am Melissa. I love all of you. Bye-bye.